Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is your morning show host, Julie Calamine, and I'm joined by my co-host, Phil Huff.
Hey, good morning, Julie.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good, but what a gloomy morning. This is the first time since, well, this time last year, woke up from the morning show to get ready and it was all dark outside.
I know it. I felt the same. That drive into town, kind of dark and wintry, a little wet. Yeah. It feels like winter today.
Winter is on its way.
Yes, it does. What have you been up to in this wintry weather?
Well, it's not quite winter yet, so it was just cold and wet and gloomy, and Saturday was an indoor day, time to get indoor chores done, and Sunday was burn pile day over at a friend's house for a burn pile party.
It is that time. I saw Bonner County Sheriff's Department notice from Nixle that we should be aware of all the burn piles happening and not be afraid to call in if you think it's not a recognized one.
And don't be afraid to break out that package of brats and a six-pack of beer either.
There you go. That's what we do during burn time. Well, I've been shopping for my Halloween costume, but I'm not telling anyone about it yet. I don't want everyone to show up as me on Halloween.
I thought you had a whole closet full of scary stuff.
Not so very funny, Phil. Not so, though, or nothing fresh enough that I want to use this Halloween. So anyway, we are going to have a great morning show, but first the weather. And the weather is kind of important because that will revolve around our topic for today, too. But it's looking good, Phil. It was a little gloomy this morning, but that is soon to end. Today, we're looking at sunny skies later and highs in the low middle 50s, and it looks like that for most of the rest of the week, except for Friday night. But we're looking for a sunny week. Highs in the 50s, lows in the 30s to 40s.
We're always looking for that sunny week, but sometimes we don't find it.
No, but it's coming. So plan some late fall activities, everybody.
Let's hope so. And we've been talking about winter, and winter's on its way. And so we thought we'd introduce the season with a pair of guests here to talk about some winter-related topics. In the studio with us this morning, we have Hillary Eisen, the Policy Director for Winter Wildlands Alliance. And we'll talk with Hillary first in the first half hour. And also joining us is Cheryl Koshevar from She Jumps.
Yes, good morning, Hillary.
Morning.
And good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
We'll hear your voices so that folks will know who they're hearing from shortly.
So feel free to jump in, Cheryl, but we're going to start with Hillary. Tell us a little bit about the Winter Wildlands. Some people locally are familiar with it. We know that we see a film festival from time to time sponsored by the organization, but give us a little more of the history, the background on Winter Wildlands.
Yeah, Winter Wildlands Alliance is a national nonprofit based in Boise. And we work with the backcountry ski, cross-country ski, snowshoe community, split borders as well, basically human-powered winter recreationists, anyone who's getting out and enjoying the mountains and snow under their own power. And we work on a variety of issues related to public lands. And so I always think of it as anywhere where you have public lands and winter, that's where we're going to be working. And we are helping the backcountry ski community, which again is quite broad, much bigger than just backcountry skiers, helping them have a seat at the table when the Forest Service and other agencies are making decisions.
And how long has the organization been around and active?
I believe we were founded in 2000 and came out of three smaller organizations that were very locally based, one in Idaho, one in California, and one in Colorado, that realized that they were doing work that was bigger than just the work they were doing locally, and that if they banded together, they could have a bigger impact. And so that's where Winter Wildlands came in.
Yeah, these issues, these questions of backcountry recreation use really are pretty broad spread. People like to get out in the winter.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, especially I think if you live in North Idaho or in the mountains, anywhere in the West, you live here, you better like winter. It's about two-thirds of the year.
Or you're in the wrong place.
Yeah, It's a beloved season by many, and I think, there's a lot of different ways to get out and enjoy it. And one thing that Winter Wildlands does is, advocate to make sure that everybody has a place and space to enjoy winter in the way that they like to do so.
Now, tell us a little bit about your personal history. How did you become involved with, get engaged with Winter Wildlands?
Yeah, so I've worked for Winter Wildlands, I think, going on about 6 years now. I'm based down in Bozeman, Montana. And got into Winter Wildlands. I'm a pretty passionate backcountry skier and ice climber. Love winter. Grew up in Montana. And also have an educational background in environmental policy, conservation biology, wildlife biology, and found this opportunity to blend my sort of education and interests with my recreational passions. And, yeah.
Nice. Well, tell us about the work you do, your position.
Yeah, as policy director at Winter Wildlands, I'm overseeing and very involved in all of the work we do around public land management, public land conservation efforts. We also have two other programs that I don't want to forget to mention, so and we can talk about later, but the other two legs of the Winter Wildlands stool besides policy are the Backcountry Film Festival and the Snow School program. Mm-hmm. But
we do want to spend some time talking about that, but it's always interesting to find people who have a passion for something, and in your case, really two passions, the policy wonkish side of you and the recreation side, and what a great opportunity to combine those things.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important that people who get out and enjoy public lands are also part of the conversation on how those lands are managed. And so my work is to help people understand how to be part of that conversation and to help them have a seat at that table.
Hmm. Well, we know there's a lot of motor-powered winter activities, snowmobiles, skiing on ski lifts, et cetera, all kinds of things. But you focus on getting yourself back there. And let's talk a little bit more about that. How does that work for your organization?
So we work with the with people who get out in the backcountry under their own power. It doesn't mean that they don't also snowmobile or also ski at a ski resort. I think a lot of us do all of those different things because we love winter and we want to get out and play in the snow, you know, any number of ways. But for those days when you're strapping your skis on your feet and putting on skins or you're putting on your snowshoes, you know, those are the types of days and experiences that we really specifically focus on. And, you know, I think often the Forest Service, you know, they have a pretty good idea of where snowmobilers are going. They know where the ski resorts are. You know, those things are pretty well documented and they understand them. They've had a long history of working with them. And cross-country skiers, backcountry skiers, ice climbers, you know, we're a little bit more under the radar.
You know, we're just all over the place.
Yeah,
just disappear into the snow.
Yeah, pretty dispersed across the national forest. And so part of what Winter Wildlands does is to make that very quiet demographic a little louder and say, hey, we're here too. And, you know, our interests should be considered as well when you're making decisions.
Yeah, I think that's really important. You mentioned a couple times the seat at the table. And while most people are not binary, they enjoy both. And certainly on the menu of potential outdoor recreation pursuits in the winter, we have motorized recreation, snowmobiling, and backcountry. And the hybrid, the ski area where you're taking the lift up and, you know, gliding down on your own. But a lot of those activities have pretty well-funded, well-organized efforts because there's money involved, where quiet recreation, they tend to be individuals who don't
aren't
as well-funded. So tell us about some of the challenges you've had and you know, where this fills a niche.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of our biggest challenges is that backcountry skiers don't tend to join big groups. You when you go backcountry skiing, you maybe are with four other people. There's not a lot of benefit to going with a huge group of people, you know, into the backcountry on skis. You know, you're not necessarily the safest thing to do. And also, you know, backcountry skiers, split boarders, they don't necessarily like to talk about where they go because they're looking for that untracked powder. And if you tell everybody where it is, then sure enough, somebody else is going to go ski it too. And so getting people to, one, come together, and two, talk about where they go skiing is a bit of a challenge. And then you're right, you know, we don't, backcountry skiing isn't an activity that you necessarily pay for up front. You know, there isn't an entrance fee to the National Forest. It's, you know, you can get a pair of cross-country skis for pretty cheap. It's a pretty low-budget activity, especially once you have the equipment. And so there, you know, we really rely on individual donations in order to do the work that we do. And you know, it's amazing how many people are out there backcountry skiing and snowshoeing, split boarding, you know, all those different activities. When they come together, you realize it's quite a large group. And like I said, it's not that they only do those things, but you know, people are very passionate about these activities.
But drawing the collective power of that voice is really important to your work.
And,
and so offices at Boise and Bozeman and where else?
So I work just from my house, so remotely in Bozeman. We joke that it's the Bozeman office, though. And likewise, we have a Mammoth Lakes, California office, which is our advocacy director working out of his house down there.
So any offices in Minnesota?
Well, we do have about 40 grassroots groups across the country, and we have a Minnesota-based grassroots group. We have a number of grassroots groups here in Idaho. In addition to our grassroots groups, which are kind of small, usually all volunteer-led sort of miniature winter wildlands alliances, you know, groups of skiers that are coming together to be involved in public lands management. We also have our snow school sites, which up here in Sandpoint, we have Seoul, and then we have Backcountry Partners. We have a number of different partner organizations. So we are well represented across, I think, 16 different states.
Mm-hmm. Anything on the East Coast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a couple grassroots groups on the East Coast, a number of other partners as well. But our East Coast groups, they work a lot on issues around Forest Service glading. So they always explain to me that in the East Coast, the biggest issue is there are too many trees. Oh. So they work with the Forest Service on vegetation projects to thin the forest, which the Forest Service is doing anyways, to promote healthy forest growth. They work with them that when they're cutting forests, to do it in a way that actually benefits backcountry skiing and thins out the trees so you can actually ski through it.
So glading is a verb to create the glades or meadows or open areas for
And so in Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine, we have grassroots groups working on those issues.
Mm-hmm. Which in the West might be done by fire or by other logging projects, but the East Coast takes a more active, determined role.
Yeah, I mean, there are hardwood forests out there. It's a little bit different environment. And I think there's room for that here as well. And it's certainly something we've talked with the Forest Service about.
It's a voice at the table on timber vegetation management.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be doing timber projects anyways, we feel like you could do it in a way that's thinking about recreation as well as timber.
So you mentioned grassroots organizations that are part of Winter Wildlands. Let's talk a little bit about the grassroots training that the organization offers.
Yeah, so we, every other year, we do a grassroots advocacy conference that's actually coming up this week in Boise. It's not too late to buy tickets, so if anyone wants to head down to Boise, our grassroots advocacy conference kicks off Thursday night with a keynote address by James Edward Mills. And then we have two full days of workshops and panels and fun getting outside, you know, shaking out the wiggles type stuff, talking about policy and organizing and, you know, how to do this kind of work. You know, again, a lot of our grassroots groups are run by volunteers, and this is a great training opportunity for them, as well as for professional athletes and mountain guides who are interested in getting involved in public land management.
And not that far away, Phil.
No, it's not
down
that
to
far
Boise.
Away. Yeah, if I didn't have other meetings I was going to.
Right.
So tell us about some of the things that they'll come away from the conference with, the skills or perspectives.
Well, so our theme of the conference this year is growing equity in public lands, and we're going to really be taking a deliberative look at diversity, equity, and inclusion in public land management and outdoor recreation. And so in addition to talking about, you know, what is forest planning, what is NEPA, you know, what... how is climate change affecting backcountry skiing? We've very deliberately brought in panelists and voices that will bring a variety of perspectives, geographically, but people from different cultures and backgrounds. So, you know, I think public lands, they belong to all Americans, and it's really important that all Americans really have a stake in them. So,
and so many perspectives on how to use forest lands, really.
Really. Yeah.
What... quickly, could you mention the groups that will be joining you?
I'm sure I will. We have a lot of different organizations that are going to be represented through panelists at the grassroots conference, so I'm sure that I will miss some of them.
General classification.
Let me see if I can rattle some of them off here. So we have National Outdoor Leadership School. We have Indigenous Women Hike. We have the Shoshone Tribe. We have the Wilderness Society, International Mountain Biking Association, and a couple of different climate scientists based out of Boise State. oh, goodness.
It's a bunch already.
Yeah, we have the Greater Yellowstone Coalition will be represented. Sorry, I should have printed
okay.
out a list.
Okay. Yeah. Just interesting to know who's represented.
If somebody's listening and they're really interested, is there a website they can go to for more information?
Yeah, winterwildlands.org. Wildlands is plural. So, and if you go to that website, you'll very easily find the link to our grassroots conference, as well as a lot of other information about what we do.
So let's turn to, you mentioned a couple of other legs, and I think we want to spend a little bit of time talking about how you work with youth and developing the next generation of backcountry users.
Yeah, so one of our legs of the Winter Wildland Stool is our snow school program. And this is a program that is very education-based, the thought being that, you know, every kid should get outside in the winter and realize that, you know, and discover, not realize, discover that, you know, winter is a really fun time to be outside. And unfortunately, not every kid has that opportunity, you know, through their families or whatever, to get out and play in the snow. You know, maybe there's a transportation barrier or their parents aren't into, you know, going outside in the winter or whatever. And so we work with education programs, both the schools as well as sort of after school programs and otherwise. And we've designed a curriculum that can be adapted for any grade, sort of K through 12. I think it's maybe best suited for elementary, but it definitely can be adapted for a number of different grades. And it can be anything from a one day, get out in the snow, you know, kind of activity day to tying back into a whole semester's worth of learning and looking at, you know, the kids go out into the snow, out to the snow school site, and they learn about snowpack and wildlife, you know, tracks in the snow and snow science and everything else. And then when they're back in the classroom, they can look up the snowtell site nearest to the area that they went. And there's a whole lesson plan related to how does the snow that's in the mountains in the wintertime relate to the water that you're drinking year round, and talking about watersheds and all of those issues as well.
And you're obviously a national organization. Is this a national program, the Snow School?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we have over 150 sites. And I may have that number wrong, so not the snow school director, but yeah, we have sites all over the country, not just in the mountains either. We have some Midwestern sites too.
Mm-hmm. All right. And that must somehow tie into our local snow school program with Seoul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Seoul is a really awesome snow school site. They're actually featured in our Backcountry Film Festival last year. We had a film about snow school that was featuring Seoul. So
yeah, they're the local manifestation of the program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are some of the other things you do with kids?
So I'd say snow school is definitely the biggest thing that we do with kids. And then our grassroots groups have a variety of programs within their own. So in addition, a lot of our grassroots groups are also a snow school site or partnering with snow school. But then many of them have other programs, you know, that are organizing group, you know, snowshoe trips or skiing or, you know, whatever, and just working with their local communities to get kids outside.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was reading on your website, how does this fit in maybe more generally than just youth, but you have an ambassadors program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we work with professional athletes and mountain guides, and those are, you know, it's people who are, you know, professionals in the winter sports world in some capacity and who share our mission for protecting winter ecosystems and opportunities for human-powered winter experiences. And they sign on to be ambassadors because they care deeply about the work that we do and they want to help us promote it. And so often, you know, a professional athlete will have a pretty large following. Think of, you know, Caroline Gleick, for instance, professional backcountry skier, has a huge online, you know, Instagram, Facebook, you know, you name it, following is in all sorts of films. And by partnering with us, she can then talk about the work that we do and expose more people to our work and our mission.
And you have quite a few ambassadors.
Yeah, we do. And again, I'm not going to be able to tell you the number right off the top of my head, but we have, and definitely a number of ambassadors who cover the range sort of, you know, they're not all just out there making ski movies, for instance. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think all of them do more than just that. But we have, for instance, one ambassador down in Boise, H.P. Marshall, who's a climate scientist. Mm-hmm. We have another one over in Bozeman, K.T. Miller, who is a ski guide and a photographer, but also a climate activist who works on polar bear conservation. So really covering the gamut of things, but people who spend a lot of time out in the wintry backcountry and who also are very passionate about the work that we're doing.
And prominent and can make a difference mm-hmm. in spreading the word about you.
Yeah. And often, too, when you're trying to get your point across, whether it's to a legislator or through a film, having somebody who's kind of famous, you know, that helps you. Yeah. I mean, nobody knows who I am, but they do know who our ambassadors are.
And yeah, I'm bringing a little celebrity to bear, isn't it, Beth?
It brings a little sparkle to the work we do.
So let's talk about the one of the more high-profile things that the organization does that many of our listeners are familiar with, at least from the user end, the film festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our Backcountry Film Festival is going into its 15th season this year. And it's actually going to be the world premiere. It coincides with the Grassroots Advocacy Conference down in Boise. So it's going to be a big weekend. The world premiere is on, I believe, Saturday night. And then it will be coming here. The film festival travels to over I'd say almost 200 locations across the globe, not just in North America, but also goes to Australia, New Zealand, South Korea, Antarctica, travels all over the place. It comes here to Sandpoint on December 6th at the Panda Theater, which
we'll help her out with that.
Thank you. It's hosted by Soul. And it's a film festival that we produce and put together featuring human-powered winter recreation. So backcountry ski films, dog sledding films, films about climbing mountains in the winter, silly films about being out in the snow, all sorts of different things that get people excited about winter. And then we provide it to our partner organizations at a very, very low cost to them to then turn around and use as a fundraiser. And so it's actually the primary fundraiser for a lot of our grassroots groups and partner organizations. And it's always a really fun, well-attended event, no matter where it's at. It's pretty beloved.
Fun and raising money. What's not to like?
Right, well, yeah. That is a well-loved film festival, so I'm sure it'll be very popular this year.
When did it start?
So it's been 15 years, and I believe it started with a couple Winter Wildlands employees, this is way before my time, being like, we should have a film festival, and sitting down in Boise, pulling together a couple films, very, very grassroots, dirtbag style, propping up a projector screen in the back room of, some restaurant and showing films, and it just sort of grew organically out of that to, again, being a very wide-ranging film festival now.
I think that's how Warren Miller got his start.
Maybe so. It seems he's been in a lot of them. Do we have the dates, times, and cost? Let's mention that at least once or twice.
So it is December 6th.
Yes.
And I don't actually know what the cost is. I'm sorry. But I bet if you go to the Soul website, they would be able to tell you that.
Selkirk Outdoor Leadership and Education for the newbie listeners. We do have a few from time to time. We've often had Soul on the show, and we probably will again before the event. But and speak a little bit to this partnership, how that works. You have other partners too, and in general, that framework.
Yeah. So the way we partner with groups depends on sort of the thing we're partnering for. So with Snow School, what we're doing is we've designed a curriculum, and then our Snow School sites take that curriculum and they apply it to their existing programs. We also help them get snowshoes at a very low cost in order to get the kids outside on snowshoes. And then our snow school director, Carrie McClay, who's based down in Boise, is kind of on call to answer questions, do trainings, help those programs succeed. On the policy front, we partner with organizations, and it really varies. Some of the organizations we partner with are much bigger than we are. And they cover a whole range of different activities and issues. But when it comes to winter recreation, winter travel management, winter-focused issues, we're really the go-to experts. And we provide policy expertise to then complement the work that they're doing. And with our sort of other grassroots groups that are very small and all volunteer-led, they're very much the experts about the issues affecting their local backcountry and the places that they ski and what they're concerned about. And then we help them with what do you do about that? What's the policy avenue to get involved and speak up for this thing that you're concerned about?
Let's follow that just a little bit further. Tell us a little bit about why we're so fortunate to have you in the studio this morning. You're here this week. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So this is my first time to Sandpoint, which I'm very excited to be here. And I'm here because the Forest Service is working on the very beginnings of working on a winter travel management plan for the Kinnick-Sioux area, which involves a lot of the winter backcountry around here. And I wanted to meet with local backcountry skiers and learn a bit about what are the areas that are important for backcountry skiers. What would they like to see come out of this winter travel plan? We don't really go into these planning processes with a preconceived idea of what needs to come out of it. I very much rely on local skiers to tell me what it is that they want to see, and then sort of weld that into here's the policy framework, here's the things that the Forest Service does, needs to do, should do, whatever, to figure out how, to approach a process. And so tonight, I'm going to be meeting with backcountry skiers at Matchwood Brewing at 6 o'clock in the community room. People are welcome to come. It's going to be a fairly casual meeting, just talking about the winter travel plan and learning from everybody who comes about, what is it that Sandpoint area skiers would like to see out of this travel plan.
Wow, show up and make your voice heard. What a great opportunity.
And Matchwood's always a fun place to do that. If someone's listening and they want to become part of that, but they can't make it tonight, they've got something else going on, can they get in touch with you or someone local?
Yeah, I think the best thing to do is probably email me. So my email address is heisen@winterwildlands.org.
Okay, and could they go to the website and find you too?
Yep, winterwildlands.org. Click around, you'll find all the information you could ever want.
Well, what are we forgetting to ask you?
Well, you guys have been really quite comprehensive. I think I just want to make another pitch. You know, if anyone is looking for something to do later this week, heading down to Boise for the Grassroots Advocacy Conference, and again, the world premiere of the Backcountry Film Festival, you get a sneak peek before it comes here in December. And I did forget to mention, we also have, to just make this weekend in Boise all the busier, we also do a fundraiser for Snow School as part of all of this called Snowball. And it's a semi-formal ski bum gala. And so we'll have a live band. People come in a variety of outfits, everything from, you know, silly costumes to, you know, prom dresses with ski boots, you know, you name it. One some more, people just come dressed regularly.
One more reason to go to Boise this weekend.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, and during the Halloween week, what a perfect time to have a snowball with
right,
costumes.
Yeah. I have a feeling we'll see a lot of costumes this time around.
Well, Hillary, thank you for joining us this morning. We're going to take a short music break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Cheryl Kosovar from She Jumps and Wild Skills Northern Idaho, the Northern Idaho coordinator for that. Hillary, you're welcome to hang around and become part of that conversation too. For right now, we're going to take a short music break.
We are, Phil, and because winter is coming, we all know it will be Simon and Garfunkel, A Hazy Shade of Winter. Ends quickly.
Yeah, it does. It's upbeat for, you know, what might be a gloomy season. It returns a little upbeatness to it.
Considering the topic and the lyrics, yes, it does end on an upbeat note. And good.
If you're just tuning in, this is KRFY 88.5. I was about to give the wrong numbers. 88.5. FM, listener-supported community radio for all of North Idaho. And this morning's guests, we've had Hillary Eisen on the first half hour, policy director of the Winter Wildlands Alliance, and Cheryl Kosovar is coming on now with She Jumps. If you missed any of the first part of the show, as always, you can listen to it later on today as a podcast at krfy.org. Right now, we're going to turn to Cheryl and She Jumps. Tell us a little bit about the organization. It's a national organization, right?
It is. She Jumps was started 13 years ago in Salt Lake City by what we like to call our founding mothers, Lindsay Dyer, Vanessa Pierce, and Claire Smallwood. Mm-hmm. You might be familiar with Lindsay, professional skier, and she kind of gave us that recognition to get things going with her movie Girafficorn Picnic that she put out. It was just a couple of friends sitting around kicking things back and trying to figure out life and saying, you know, if she can do it, so can I, when it came to outdoor adventures and putting together a program to help others out in that.
So three gals were just sitting around thinking, what can we do to get more women involved? And somehow they came up with this crazy looking
That was
logo.
Lindsay's doing. It's our called our Girafficorn. That's
right.
Our logo. It's becoming quite well known. And it's a conversation piece that instantly makes little kids and adults alike look at it and go, what in the world? You know, kind of a thing. It's designed to be half giraffe, which means keeping your feet on the ground for ready for adventure and playing outside, because giraffes don't jump a whole lot. And our eyes looking up like a unicorn to see where we want to be going and what we want to accomplish.
I love it. Who wouldn't love a giraffe unicorn? Now, there's a Halloween costume idea.
You know what,
Phil? It's not
giraffe,
too late.
Half unicorn, all magic.
There you go.
So tell us about the breadth of activities. We were a bit focused on winter, but really She Jumps is about more than just winter.
We are year-round. Pretty much if anyone comes up with an idea of something they would like to do, we do it. Winter women tend to be active the rest of the year also. So we do mountain biking, fly fishing, yoga, rock climbing. We did goat yoga last year. It was a huge hit. Kayaking, any kind of paddling. pretty much anything, hiking, and our activities run from very introductory level where you have no skill set whatsoever, no physical requirements, all the way up to world-class mountain climbing.
So she really can jump into anything. Cheryl, tell us how you jumped into She Jumps.
Oh, goodness. I was a lifelong skier, raised my daughter that way. Our family, as a family unit, we're always outdoors riding and clam digging or you name it, hiking. And I'd always coached for the race team at my local mountain and, you know, lived and worked up there in the wintertime playing. And one day I noticed this group of crazy women having fun on the hill. And I wanted to be one of them. And I started following them around that day and going, what's going on? What's going on? And they said, well, let's get the girls out day. And I said, well, I'm a girl, you know, so jumped in with this group and through the course of the day, learned a lot about the organization and had a great time. So instantly it was game on, I'm in. And that was 8 years ago. And I've just started volunteering and slowly volunteering more and more and more. And getting more involved in the process. She Jumps was quite a bit smaller then. It's growing rapidly. We started adding activities. One of the things that I was really interested in personally was the fact that my daughter's, you know, late 20s, an adult now, and all of her friends were the peers I was hanging with in She Jumps. It was a much younger group, but there weren't children. It was pretty much a middle-range demographic. And I wanted to change that. I am much older and old enough to be older mothers. And it was so funny because they were all coming to me and saying, we wish we would have been raised this way and doing this. And your daughter is so lucky and, you know, that type of a route. So I became mom to all these women and said, wait a minute, we're bringing in more people my age and more people that are littler and all of this. And that became my main focus, was changing the demographic.
Yes, to round out that demographic. And how did you come to be in Sandpoint?
We had always loved this area, came here often for outdoor activities as a family. And when my husband and I decided to truly retire a year ago, we landed here, and it was important to get involved in community again. My original plan was to take a year off from She Jumps and unpack the boxes and crates and paint the walls, but that didn't quite happen.
She jumped right in again.
There you go.
So was there a She Jump local club organization here, or did you start it?
It is getting going really well now. Actually, 5 years ago, Anna Tuig out of Spokane started Get the Girls Out up at Schweitzer. It was a grassroots, smaller thing, but the Pacific Northwest is known for leading the pack in the country for She Jumps. And so when I came over, it was game on. I was in direct competition with my girls in Seattle and Tacoma to up the game over here and get this really rolling. And I found Schweitzer to be the perfect place to take that off with. They are proving to be a great partnership for us.
So tell us about some of the things that you're doing with Schweitzer.
Schweitzer will be doing this winter again our Get the Girls Out event. This year's the 5th anniversary, which is pretty landmark for us over here. Last year, we quadrupled the attendance and fundraising that took place out there over previous years. So that was really exciting. At Get the Girls Out, we have a wide range of activities. It's literally for all ages. We had 2-year-olds and 80-year-olds there last year.
So tell us the basic details of it. When is it? How is it all day? Is it multi-day?
That'll be held Sunday, February 23rd. It's an all-day event. Schweitzer teams up with us to offer discounted lift tickets to our attendees. Sign up is online on Eventbrite. And also, you can get information on Facebook through the She Jumps Inland Northwest group. It's an all-day event. It has Schweitzer kicks in NASCAR. We have handicapped races for children and adults with some super cool, special, unique Giraffe-a-Corn bragging rights trophies and awards to the winners of those races. We do things called the Queens of the Greens and Cruise the Blues that are scavenger hunts on the hill where people punch cards on all the different runs on the hill, getting them out, exploring the mountain. There's special drawings for that afterwards. We have games, dance parties, fruit by the foot eating contests, a raffle that is insane. Ooh. Hundreds and hundreds of items in the raffle that we give away gifts for. Let's see, what else? Oh, the golden giraffe-acorn hunt on the mountain. It's a favorite with all the kids. We have these foot-tall giraffes that have been spray-painted gold with horns at it. And the kids can search the hill to find those to turn in for prizes. And adults do it, too. It's just kind of a fun day with a little bit of education thrown in. We have a beacon, avalanche beacon search area, where we have a volunteer who staffs that, teaches you how to use a beacon and a probe if you've never done that. This year, since it's our 5th anniversary, we figure everyone needs to be able to commemorate. So we have a group that donated a photo booth, so everyone will be able to take their own photos. It's just kind of a day of really good silliness in costumes, tutus, unicorn onesies, retro wear. It's definitely the most bright and colorful day that takes place at Schweizer.
It sounds like a great celebration and a great opportunity to raise some money. Tell us where the money goes. What does it support?
The money goes to support our overhead, for one thing. It's expensive having a nonprofit with insurance when we're in outdoor industries and such. However, we do throw a lot of money back into the community in education and in our youth programs. The youth programs is called Wild Skills, and that's the kids division that I'm the most passionate about, where we get those young girls that perhaps don't have a family unit, that are from outdoor active families that want to do things independent of mom and dad.
They don't have a grandma like you, maybe.
There you go. I have a lot of grandchildren, it seems like now, you know, hundreds of little girls that pretty much look at me that way. But we do everything from day camps where the girls are dropped off for a day to learn skills and education in outdoor activities, to individual family events where mom, dad, the brothers, everybody can come and learn skills like while on a 2-mile hike or so, they'll learn how to do water purification, using a compass, basic first aid. Those types of things. And then we have recently expanded and are doing week-long camps on Mount Rainier. Mm. And this is where sponsors come in. So that money does go towards scholarships. One of our theories at She Jumps is no one's turned away for lack of ability to pay.
Very good.
And so that's something we are looking for here in Sandpoint, is groups that may have girls interested in participating in activities. And please feel free to contact us to find out how to get no or low cost scholarships to mm-hmm. events available for these mm-hmm. girls.
Or just get involved in the activities. That would be a great way to connect.
Absolutely. We also have the Junior Ski Patrol at Schweitzer, mm-hmm. which we started several years ago at Crystal Mountain in Washington, and Schweitzer was ready to jump in right away last year, where the girls spend an entire day with the female ski patrol.
My mother was a female ski patrol, by the way, and that was many, many years ago. Yes, in Minnesota.
I can see that. Good bones. Good bones. Tell us about some of the groups you partner with, then.
We partner with things like Rainier Mountaineering, actually homeless shelters, abused mm-hmm. women's groups, school groups, the Mountaineers. Some of these groups are able to supply us with equipment and female mentors on mm-hmm. the professional levels that can make it possible for us to safely teach and guide mm-hmm. some of these things.
Yes, so you're looking to grow members in terms of young folks, and I'm sure young 20s, the young women, and maybe looking for the gals who could be more grandmas in the area.
Absolutely. So, senior population in Sandpoint, to me, is just this fabulous yes. resource that we need to tap into. And there's a lot of ripping women around here.
That's for sure. I was thinking you might put a shout out to that group, that if they wanted to help some of the young gals in the area, this would be a great opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing a few people at the Prime Timers Club up at Schweitzer interested.
Absolutely. Yeah. Guess who sent in her membership?
Yes. Excellent.
So do you have an active membership here locally then?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We had, we're approximating 250 people show up at our Get the Girls Out last year, which is incredible. That was the second biggest event ever held in the country.
Oh, my goodness.
And it went from 60 participants the year before.
That's an amazing, amazing achievement.
And pretty cool.
And the event, do you need volunteers for the event? This is an opportunity to make a plea for volunteers.
Always need volunteers. On every event that we have posted, we have a link to the volunteer website, so you can volunteer full-time as an ambassador or host to help put on events, or you can volunteer just for a specific event.
Okay, and this is a very big event, obviously, at Schweitzer. Will there be other events that young women might look forward to in the area?
Yes, besides the Junior Ski Patrol, which will be March 1st at Schweitzer. That's also going up on Eventbrite. On November 15th, we're having a winter stoke party over here at the Long Shot in Sandpoint. This is just a great chance for women, girls, and their families. So this is an all-inclusive event for everyone, no cost. It comes under our community initiative heading, where we like to hold free events in towns to get people together.
A social event or other things happening? More than social, are there going to be?
Well, that will also, we're teaming up with IPAC,
great,
the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center. And we'll be doing about a half hour avalanche awareness presentation at it that's great for the whole family. Schweitzer Patrol's also being involved in this. It'll have a ski swap going on at it if anyone has equipment that they want to come bring and negotiate some bargains or trades with other attendees there. And fun games once again and another raffle.
And so somewhere I know there must be a connection here between the ski jumps and the winter wildlands on a broad regional national level.
There has to be. I think Hillary and I need to mesh brains, and if there isn't already, we need to make it happen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure She Jumps hosts the Backcountry Film Festival, not here in Sandpoint, but in other locations. And if not, that certainly would be a great fundraising opportunity for She Jumps.
Yes, you guys will find some connection, I
have
a feeling.
And I would love to use and abuse them for the number of requests I've been getting since moving here in regards to cross-country and snowshoe.
Well, we're about running out of time. Are there any interesting anecdotes that you'd like to share from the time you've spent working with the breadth of women in She Jumps from the youth on up?
What we really just mainly love is the spontaneity and the comfortable setting it provides for women. One of the things they laugh about with me is I had never been on a paddleboard and I had never done yoga. And someone was putting on a paddleboard yoga event. And they said, Cheryl, are you coming?
And
I said,
did.
Sure. And this was held in Puget Sound on a rainy, cold day. But, you know, it just, She Jumps seems to be a very comfortable situation for women to come out and try things they've never done before. Yeah,
the next level is to put a goat on that paddleboard.
we had a nice seal that was visiting throughout it.
Cheryl, I can't let you go without making a comment and then asking a question. We've focused mainly on winter sports here, and you did just allude to paddleboarding and things like that. But you really do have many, many outdoor activities for women. It's not just about skiing, and it won't be just about skiing here in Idaho, here in Sandpoint.
Correct. So, I'm hoping we can connect again in the springtime, because we're looking to put together a float trip.
Ooh.
Yes, and offshore fly fishing events. We'd like to do a paddleboard and kayak event here on the lake. And we're also starting mountain biking, and we've done that both at the youth and the grown-up level. And so that will be introductory through advanced writing.
Very good. That's great to hear. Now, here's the question. I thought this might come from Phil, but I guess I'm going to have to pose it, Phil. What are the guys doing when you gals are all out having fun?
Drinking beer.
We actually have a good number of male volunteers that help us out. Whether it's setting up equipment and schlepping things or hiding golden giraffe acorns on the hill for us, we have a great group of guys and that also act as photographers at our events and videographers. We're seriously indebted. We couldn't do without our male giraffe acorns.
Oh, good. I'm glad that came up because volunteers are sought everywhere and guys are not left out of she jumps in the volunteering community.
And the children aren't.
Excellent.
So we actually have girls now that have been growing up in the she jumps environment who are now 12, 13 years old and they want to work the events instead of go to them.
So very good.
People looking for more information, the website would be?
It's shejumps.org. Or She Jumps Inland Northwest Group on the Facebook page.
And Cheryl, if they want to find you here in Sandpoint, is that the best way to do it? Or phone
it's
number?
It's an easy way to remember, but I can give my email also. It's CKOCHEV, as in Victor, AR, at shejumps.org.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'd like to thank both of our guests this morning. Cheryl Kokovar, thank you from She Jumps. We appreciate it. You're the Northern Idaho coordinator. And Hillary Eisen, so great to hear about Winter Wildlands Alliance. And you, of course, are the policy director there. Thank you both for joining us.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the show. And we hope to see you out and about this winter and year round.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And we're going to take a short song break and then be back with some upcoming events and our reader board for the radio station. But before that, we're going to hear a song. This is going to be in honor of She Jumps. Phil, do you want to introduce this song from the Supremes?
Oh, it was in 1966 that the first number one album by an all-girl band went number one. And I think it was their album, Go Go, and we've selected a track from that.
We've tried. I'm not sure if it's from that album, but the song we're hearing is Come See About Me.
Oh, okay. We've at least selected a Supreme